This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
When you start doing a little bit of da'wah, and you start a little halaqa, and then you get 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, and then people, mashallah.
If you start thinking, yeah, if I wasn't doing the da'wah, then what would happen to the da'wah? Miskeen da'wah wouldn't survive without me. I'm the reason that, you know, Islam is being held up. Because without me, look at the rest of these people. Ha! Right? وَلَا تَمْنُنْ. You're not a gift of God to humanity. Don't act like you're some divine blessing that the world won't continue without you.
Warning is an act of care. The problem is we put warning next to good news, bashiran wa nadhiran, so we think bashiran is positive and nadhiran is negative. What I'm trying to tell you is they're both positive. They're actually both positive. They're both meant to help someone. And sometimes, just like in a class, many of you are teachers, many of you have children. A child sometimes needs encouragement and a child sometimes needs a warning. And you cannot just give positive, positive, positive with no warnings. That's not good parenting. When Yaqub alayhi salam told Yusuf alayhi salam, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك, don't tell your dream to your brothers. What was that? Was that good news or was that warning? That was warning, but that was an act of love. He's protecting his child. The child needs this warning. So this is already so important because we have not understood this difference between scaring and warning. And a lot of our da'wah has become very angry, yelling and screaming. And has become, you're going to burn in hell like this, and this is going to happen to you, and this is going to happen to you. And all of that is takhweef, it is instilling fear, but it's actually not giving a warning. Completely different concepts. Anyway, that wasn't my subject. My subject was, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرُ. So let's come back to that. It's only two words in this ayah. لا تمنون, one phrase, تستكثر, the other phrase. That's it. Now, to start with, this ayah can be read in two ways. This ayah can be read in two ways. You can read it, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرُ, with a dhamma at the end, تَسْتَكْثِرُ. Or you could use it, read it with a jazm at the end, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرُ, with a sukoon at the end. If you read it with a dhamma at the end, I know many of you are not Arabic students, that's okay. If you read it with a dhamma at the end, it becomes a hal. If you read it with a jazm at the end, it becomes a jawab al-talab. Two different things. So there's two different meanings. Two different lessons are being taught. But from those two lessons, we get a number of lessons, actually. So I want to just go through a list of these lessons that Allah is telling His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to giving da'wah. When it comes to giving da'wah. To give you a concept here, the Prophet ﷺ is being told, as you continue to invite people to Islam, there are some dangers for yourself. Not from the enemy, from inside you. And I'm warning you of the dangers inside you. So this is actually internal protection. Think of it this way, if it's really cold outside, you're gonna wear warmer clothes. That's external protection, right? But if you're going to take a vaccination against some spreading disease, or you're going to take some medication against a potential threat or whatever, or you're going to take healthy nutrition, that's internal protection. So there's external protection and internal protection. This surah mentions the external threats to da'wah, and it also mentions the internal threats to da'wah. This is the internal threat. So let's talk about this internal threat for a second. The first word is وَلَا تَمْنُنْ. This word also has a couple of meanings. We'll start with the origin of the word la tamnun. It comes from the word man. Mim, noon, and noon. Man. Now, man in Arabic, kullu hablin nuziha bihi manin. Any rope that you're pulling a rope and you're pulling a rope and it's getting weaker and weaker in the middle, like in the movies, and it finally, like, it snaps, it's becoming that weak. That kind of a rope is called manin. The rope that's about to snap is called manin. مَنَّهُ السَّيْرِ, when a person is traveling for a long time
and they become so tired they can't even take the next step anymore, they collapse, they're about to collapse, that person, they say, is experiencing men in the journey to the point of exhaustion, meaning they used all their energy, like the rope used all of its stamina and it's about to snap. The person is traveling, they used all their energy, they're about to collapse. So mannahu sayr. Similarly, they say about a person who's become very old or very sick and they can barely get up, they call that person also manin, rajulun manin. Right? Because over time, their bones have become weak, their muscles have become weak, they can't get up easily, so they've become extremely, extremely weak. So one meaning you get from this word is to become weak. You can see that meaning, to become weak. The other meaning is to cut. Manna qata'a. Two meanings, to become weak and to cut. So we're going to look at both of those meanings. So the first meaning, the Prophet ﷺ is being told, don't become weak. Don't become weak. And the second meaning is, don't cut. And then there's a third meaning. Man also means when you make your enemy weak by doing something kind for them. Your enemy is hard against you, and then you gave them their favorite chocolate, and all of a sudden, you know? Like I don't know if you're addicted to TikTok, you are. There's some guy's riding a bike, and some driver goes right by him, almost hits him, and now the bike rider is really angry, so he gets up to the traffic light, up to the guy's window, and he starts banging on the window, and the guy rolls down the window and says, I'm so sorry, man, I didn't even see you, I feel so bad. Here, I was eating, this is my favorite chocolate, I want you to have some. All of a sudden, they shake hands, man, you're cool, we're good, thank you. What happened? This was man. Why? He did him a favor and it made him soft. So now, let me quiz you. Three meanings. The first meaning is, don't become weak. Second meaning is, don't cut, which can also mean don't discontinue, because cutting is discontinuing, right? So the second meaning is don't discontinue. And the third meaning is, don't do a favor. Don't do a favor. Three things. Okay. Now we're going to take each of them and understand what the Prophet's being told. First one was, don't become weak. And the second part is, tastakthiru. Don't become weak because you feel like you've been doing a lot. Tastakthiru could mean you feel like you're doing a lot. And now you say to yourself, man, I've been doing this da'wah every day. It's so exhausting. Nobody wants to listen. And I have my followers already. I have a few followers. They can carry the work now. I think I can maybe, I was going, you know, full foot on the accelerator. I was going at 100% speed. Maybe I can go 50% now because I've done enough. I need to relax a little bit too. Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, don't become weak because you think you've done enough already. You've done too much already. Don't think that way. That's one lesson already. The second lesson, don't do favors. Don't do favors. Tastakthiru can also mean when you hope that you will get more. So one meaning of wala tamnun tastakthir is don't do favors hoping that you will get more in return. Now what does that mean? Let's understand that clearly. Some parts of the Quran are very offensive to the Quraysh. Other parts of the Quran are not as offensive to the Quraysh. For example, in the Quran, Allah will describe, you know, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَّهِينٍ حَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ عُتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينٍ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. Uff. This is a criticism of people like Walid ibn Mughira in the Quran. If you don't know about Walid ibn Mughira, it's okay. Walid is one of the millionaires in Mecca. Very smart man, a media personality of that time. And he was a very strategic enemy of Islam. He wasn't like a crazy dog enemy, like Abu Lahab. Like Abu Lahab's just loud and crazy, right? Abu Jahl is more like a military enemy. But Walid is more like a political enemy. You know the one who shakes your hand with a smile and then stabs you in the back? That's Walid ibn Mughira. He's a really smart enemy. So Allah even describes different kinds of enemies. And this enemy, he loves to have a good reputation, because politicians, what do they need all the time? Good reputation. So what does Allah do in the Quran? He destroys his reputation. The guy who keeps making promises but has no dignity. Hallafin Mahin. What do politicians do? Do they make promises? Yeah. Don't follow anyone who keeps making all these promises and has no dignity at all. Hamazin, Masha'in bi Namim. He'll go and talk, make promises to you, and behind you he'll go and criticize you and turn people against you, and then go and have this secret meeting and that secret meeting and that secret meeting and try to get everybody against you and lie about you and all of that while smiling at you. Masha'in bi Namim. Manna'il lil khayr. Every time you try to do something good, he'll try to stop it in some way or the other. He does not want anything good to be associated with you. He wants his reputation to be good. He wants to make sure your reputation is bad. مَنَّاعِ لِلْخَيْرِ. Oof. Criticism, criticism, criticism. Now, rich people and politicians, they don't like criticism. But if you go to Walid ibn Mughira and say, you know what, I'm not going to recite this surah. I'm just going to recite Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We'll just recite that. But I won't recite the surah where you're criticized. I'll do you a favor. I'll do you a favor. I won't warn you about your behavior. I'll just talk about something more positive. I'll just take something softer and talk to you about that. Then you're doing him a favor, right? And you're doing him a favor, and he says, you know what? I like you. I like your Islam. You have a more progressive Islam that doesn't offend me. You know what? Here's a campaign donation from me for your charitable da'wah. Keep up the good work. So Walid doesn't want to destroy Islam. Walid just wants to bend Islam away from himself. And if you can do that, then you will get access to a millionaire. Right? And a millionaire doesn't just have money. A millionaire has a lot of influence, has a lot of network, and he can connect you to his network. And he could say, let me bring you to a meeting of all the tribe leaders. Let me introduce you to this one, and this businessman from Taif, and this leader from here, and let me connect you. He's got a lot of network connections. The guy that you know feeds the camels, and the guy that cleans the goats, he doesn't have the connections. Walid has the connections. So now Allah is warning the Prophet ﷺ, don't do any favors to anyone hoping that you will get a lot in return. And you might even tell yourself, the da'wah will be helped. If I come to these politicians and these rich people and I please them and I give them what they want to hear, then they will support, and if they support, Islam will move forward. Allah says, from the beginning of da'wah, from the beginning, لَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِفْ. This is not the way you should think about da'wah. That is not allowed for you. The Prophet ﷺ cut that path. By the way, politics and religion around the world, it's not even Islam, politics and religion have always had a toxic relationship. Any politician, whether it's America or anywhere else, especially in America also, if you want to get the votes of the religious class, just show up at a church. And when you show up at a church, the church will also now endorse the candidate, and the candidate will endorse the church. Why? Because they're actually benefiting each other. They're helping each other out. You're going to give us more tax breaks. You're going to get us these benefits. We're going to get you the voters. You win, we win. It's a business deal. It's not religion and politics. It's two business partners. It's just two business partners. And the Quran comes and says, this partnership, they may do that because they see their religion as a business, and they see the da'wah is not about getting more people. The da'wah is not about more followers. It has nothing to do with that. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Okay. Then, manna also means to do a favor, right? Remember that? But it also means to think you've done a favor. If I think I did you a favor. Like Allah says, or if I remind you that you did a favor, that's also called man. So if Allah says, you know, لَا تُبْدِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Like if you give somebody charity, then don't think you did them a favor. Also, don't remind them. Remember last year I gave you sadaqah for the sake of Allah? Then it's not for the sake of Allah. It's canceled now because you wanted to use it as a reminder that you did someone a favor. That's also called man. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, don't consider it a favor that you've done so much. Meaning, maybe 1 year of da'wah, full time, day and night. Inna laka fil nahari sabhan tawila. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years of serving these people. I have served them and they spit at me. I want to save them and warn them. They humiliate me and my family. I try to protect them from the fire. They throw my followers into fires. I give them positive, they give me negative. For years and years and years. You know what? These people don't deserve me. I did so much for them and look at what they're doing for me. I have done enough for them that, you know what? No more. Allah says, never think you're doing anyone a favor. When you're giving someone da'wah, when you're inviting someone to Allah, you're not doing anyone a favor. لا تمنن. And you don't ever think you've done enough, you've done so much. You see how in that one ayah, just these two words, there's an entire constitution of the dangers, the mental viruses that can subconsciously enter in the mind of any da'i. And the reason the Prophet ﷺ is being warned of this, he's not in any danger of this, actually. Who is this actually for? Us. It's actually, all of this is for us. And so let's keep going. Don't think that it's a favor to Allah that you've done so much. Well, you know, people will come to the da'i, people will come, sahaba will come to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, you have done so much khair. Allah reward you so much. Look at all the people that became Muslim because of you. Look at all the sabr you have, all the ibadah you do, right? You are so close to Allah. You've done so much for the deen of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ is being told by Allah, it doesn't matter what people say, never for 1 second think you have done something special for Allah. You have not done Allah a favor. Now what happens is, the Prophet ﷺ is in no danger of this. But you start doing a little bit of da'wah, and you start a little halaqa, and then you get 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, and then people, mashallah, sister. When I'm near you, my iman just, oh. This, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you. You're so close to Allah. That, and you start saying, yes, yes, I am. No, but you don't say that, do you? You say, no, astaghfirullah, no. On the outside, you say, no, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. On the inside, you say, yes, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Right? Because we have to fake humility. This is not about the outside. These ayat are not about the outside. These are about the inside. What's going on in your head? If you start thinking, yeah, if I wasn't doing the da'wah, then what would happen to the da'wah? Miskeen da'wah wouldn't survive without me. I'm the reason that, you know, Islam is being held up. Because without me, look at the rest of these people. Ha! Right? وَلَا تَمْنُنْ. You're not a gift of God to humanity. Don't act like you're some divine blessing that the world won't continue without you. Right? You're not like the Prophet ﷺ. Look at what the Quran does. The Prophet ﷺ is told directly himself, the most indispensable human being that ever lived, the most expensive soul that ever existed. He's being told, إِنَّكَ مَيُّتُونَ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيُّتُونَ. You're going to die and they're going to die. Like, that's it. You know, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he were to die, or if he was killed, would you turn away from your religion? You would turn back on your heels? This is what Allah says. And if he's talking that way about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's actually teaching us something about how we should not think of ourselves as God's gift to humanity. We should not. We're the ones being given a favor. We're not the ones doing the favor. We're not the ones doing the favor. By the way, when you make salah, act of ibadah, right? Does anybody ever think when they make an act of ibadah like salah, they've done a favor to Allah? No. What do you think when you make salah? Who have you done a favor to? Yourself. Surah Al-Muzammil is about salah. Surah Al-Muddathir is about da'wah, and just like salah is exclusively for Allah, da'wah is also exclusively for Allah. So the mentality you have in salah, you forget about the world, it's just you and Allah. And you're doing it for yourself. You're benefiting yourself. The same mindset applies in da'wah. So the same mindset that was in qum al-layla illa qalila is the same mindset in qum fa'andir. That's why qum is in both. It's the same mentality. The same way you stand up to pray and your intentions have nothing to do with people, no return on investment, no favors, no nothing. The same way, not when it comes to da'wah. Now let's talk about the Islamic scene also for ourselves. It can be that if you make da'wah in some places, people will benefit, people will appreciate it more. People will appreciate it more, right? And you see some places you're trying to do your da'wah and it's not working. It's just, this one has low return on investment, this one has high return on investment. So obviously in business, when you put money, time, energy into something that doesn't have return on investment, you say, you know what, this one is not worth it. I'm gonna put my time and energy in something where I get more return on investment, right? Think about Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years of investment, very little or no return, right? He could just say, I'm just, enough. I need to discontinue and go somewhere where I can get more return on investment. I can get better. Where I can flourish more. People will be more willing to listen to my argument. Rasulullah does not leave Mecca. He had every opportunity to leave Mecca for 13 years. Every opportunity. He does not leave Mecca. He leaves Mecca when it's impossible for him to stay alive in Mecca. You understand? Nuh alayhi salam does not leave until Allah says, time to go. He does not leave. Do not discontinue thinking you will get more somewhere else. Remember, manna also means to discontinue. Don't discontinue this effort just because you think it's better, your time and energy is better used somewhere else. You know, because your results dependent. No. Don't weaken or discontinue in your resolve because you think you've done a lot already. I talked about that one. This is a good one. Tastakthir also means wanting more. Wanting more. Somewhere in my mind as a human being, in the end, nothing is unconditional. We say, I have unconditional love. Not true. Love in the end somehow is conditional, somehow. You could say, no, I love my baby no matter what. Wait till your baby grows up. And may Allah give us good children. But there are scenarios where a child is abusive to the parents. Where a child is aggressive, angry, hurtful. That happens. And when that same child was hugging you when they were a baby, and they were running after you when they were a baby, when they were that way, there was a love you felt. Now, when they're older, you still love them, but is the love the same? No, because we're human. It cannot stay the same. It's love, but it's been reduced or hurt because of the damage that's been caused to the relationship. It's not just entirely unconditional. I love you exactly the same. You spit at me, I hug you even more. It doesn't work. We're human. Yaqub alayhi salam loves his kids, but even when they ask him to pray for him, he said, not yet. I'll do it soon. Because it's not unconditional. It's just not that simple, right? Now, how does that play out in this da'wah, you know, ayah? Actually, don't start doing less da'wah because you're hoping that you will get more in return. Like you start thinking it's a reciprocal relationship. So if I do something for you, and I've been doing it this many years, I'm doing all the effort, I'm not seeing the returns, so maybe I shouldn't be so energetic in my effort, because the energy of my effort depends on the energy of the return. So Allah is saying, don't get weak just because you don't see the returns. You don't see the response from the other side. If you look at all of these lessons, and there's even more, the last, actually, I'll just read one of them to you on tastakthir with a sukoon. Remember, there's two ways to read it. Just one more.
Allah says, in a sense, Allah says, never discontinue and never become weak in your mission to invite people to Allah's word. And if you can do that, if you can continue just not becoming weak, it's not seasonal for you. It doesn't depend on the political climate. It doesn't depend on the response. You don't expect anything from anybody. You keep going the way you're going. Allah says, if you do that, I will make sure you will have a lot. In other words, stop thinking about a lot and Allah will give you a lot. Half of the ayah was, stop thinking about getting a lot. That's what it was. Stop thinking about getting more people. Stop thinking about getting favors. Stop thinking about special treatment. You've done enough already. They should give you more. They should give you more. Like, in the Prophet's case, it's easy to understand. Let's understand in our case. I've been doing some level of da'wah for many years in my life, and then you become famous. And when you become famous, then people want to do you favors. No, please sit over here. I get on a plane, get my nice economy class seat, and somebody who's been listening to my lectures is sitting in a business class seat. Ustaz, take my seat. I don't want your seat. I mean, I want it a little bit, but... you know? And then the next time, I didn't take the seat. The next time somebody says, take my seat. I said, no, I'm used to saying no. But the next time, the guy recognized me, but he didn't offer me a seat. No.
I got to check my views. Is there something going down? What's happened?
I was expecting more special treatment. What happens is when you do da'wah, people who benefit from your da'wah will give you special treatment. It's a reality. You'll get it. Many times I've gone to restaurants and somebody recognized me, and by the time I go to pay the bill, they've already paid the bill. Right? I'm like, who? They're like, Abed, don't worry. Okay. Now, I don't know who it was, but they paid the bill. May Allah reward them. But then I go to a restaurant and 10 people recognize me. And I go to the check counter just as a formality because I assume they've already paid the bill. And nobody paid the bill. If I start developing this mentality that I need special treatment, you know, I get invited to conferences and lectures and things like that, right? And a lot of times when you have to go on stage, before you go on stage, there's a special VIP room. And the VIP room, they have flowers. You didn't get flowers. I got flowers. You get your own table. You got a table? No. Because I'm special. You're not special. See, I'm the one doing that. I get special treatment. I have water bottle thingies. See that? You know why? Because I have the mic. Yep, I'm special. So there's a VIP room. And then when the lecture is done, people want to come and ask you questions. No. Leave Ustad alone. And there's a security team that will come. Ustad, you okay? Are you okay? And you start, yeah, these people. You know, and you're walking in the hall and somebody says to you, can I just talk to you for 1 minute? This is my personal time. These people. You think I'm just going to just talk to people? Just like that? No, I'm not telling you that anybody else does this. But I do know, because I'm in the da'wah field, there are people who actually send a request, could you come as a speaker to do da'wah at our program? They say, yes. If you want to invite me, it will cost you this much. If you want me to talk to people, it'll cost this much. If you want me to sit at their tables, they actually have a menu. And you have to check the boxes, and the price change, there's a price point. There's a price. Now let me be clear. Education has a price. Education has a price. Da'wah does not have a price. Da'wah is an act of ibadah. Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent to Medina to teach Quran. That is education. He was given a regular salary by the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Teaching is something. Somebody comes and teaches your child Quran. Or you send your child to a school to teach them. And they're teaching them memorization of Quran. They're teaching them tafsir. They're teaching them, yes? And you say, no, Islam should be free. No, dummy. That's education.
Education is a paid labor service. But da'wah is separate from, we're talking about da'wah right now. Da'wah is not a paid service. Da'wah is an act of ibadah. And in what, this is why I said, Sawt al-Muddathir is a seed. If you understand the seed, then if the seed is pure, then the tree that will grow can only be pure. If you don't understand the seed to be pure, if you don't understand the purity, then what grows is something ugly. Like Allah says, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ اُجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. A filthy word, a corrupt word, is like a corrupt tree. It can get plucked out of the ground easily. Just like weak da'wah, seasonal da'wah. So, you know, get the followers da'wah. That will go in one direction today, another direction tomorrow, another direction tomorrow. It has no roots. It's not settled in anything. But the word of Allah is settled. It's thabit. It's firm. So I thought, you know, I'll take these few minutes to just share with you the richness that's there in the Quran on these subjects and how much more we can explore. In fact, there are other meanings in this ayah too that I didn't cover with you. But I just want everybody to think about, especially those of you that are young, at some level you're doing some da'wah. And a lot of young people have a desire to become an influencer, right? Good for you. Just don't be under the influence when you want to be the influencer. Have the right influence first, right? So if you're going to do something for Allah's sake, then be clear about what that is first before you engage, right? So my invitation to all of you is to actually take a deep look at Sawt al-Muddathir for yourselves from that perspective. Gain an understanding of what does it mean to spread the message of Allah. Because this was, again, one of the earliest, maybe within the first five surahs that were revealed, this was one of them. So this was setting the stage for everything else that's coming, right? May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept that from all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated. It's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.